Anybody want to split a donut?
I can't. I'm on a diet.
You're on a diet?
This is the time of year to be on a diet.
I've lost almost 14 pounds.
Whoa, rabbit. There's going to be nothing left of you.
I think we just found them, rabbit.
Wow. Not eating any
carbs? We just found the 14 pounds.
Okay, let's move. Okay, gentlemen, we're in Hilchos Psul Mikdash Perikut Tes Halacha Hey, Chapter 19, Law 5. The last time we talked about burning leftovers, and we said that you only burn nosar in the day. And halacha hey follows up on that. Halacha hey follows up on that. Afal pi shashlamim asurim ba'achila mitchilas leil shlishi, even though shlamim, that's a nosar. Now, what shlamim, the animal shekel in the day. You can eat it the end, for the balance of the day,
right,
the entire night that follows, the entire day that follows, right, and now that next nightfall, it is now pigel.
Yeah.
Not pigel,
really?
Nosar.
Well, it's nosar.
It's nosar. At that point, when the sun sets for shlumim, that's nosar. But even though it's nosar, ain't sarfin nosar, but we don't burn that nosar, el bayom, but till the next day. So that's the whole point. That's when the Torah by nosar says, you burn it in the day. Okay, so now it's Bein Bezmano. Doesn't matter if that day is that third morning, where that's the time to burn Nosar. Mm-hmm. Or what if you guys just were so overwhelmed with lots of, you didn't get around to burning it in the third day.
Right.
And it's already the third night, the night, the next night. Bein Shelo Bezmano. Even if you haven't done it at the right time, what do you got to do? You got to wait till the next day to burn it. You should have been burning it that whole day. You didn't. Now it's night. Well, you can't burn it at night. So you got to wait till the next day. Similarly, v'chein pigel. Now we know pigel and nosar are learned from the same pasuk. So whatever we say about nosar, we'll say about pigel. So now you have pigel. What's the law of pigel? Pigel is supposed to be burnt immediately. That's what it's about. As soon as that korban is bad, you burn it. Well, guess what? When are you most likely to pigelize something? A day or in the night? When are you going to pigelize it?
During the day.
Yes, why?
Because you have to do korban during the day.
Davodas in the day. The only time you can make it pigel is in the day.
That's it.
Right?
Look out.
Right? Once, whatever you're doing, shchita, zrika, all that is daily avodah. You can't do that at night. So when are you pigelizing it? Then. So really, boom, right then you should burn it. What if you didn't get around to burning it till nightfall? Then you got to wait till the next day. That's the rule. You have only burned these things in the day. The ain't sreifas tame, but now, let's say now, what?
You can burn it the next day?
Yeah, because you can't burn it at night. We just said you cannot burn no sore or pigel. We're not talking about burning regular korbanos. Don't confuse this with a regular korban. Let's say korban ola. Korban ola, you shecht it, you could burn it in the day or that night. That's not a problem. We're only talking about things that have become messed up, like no sore, pigel, these things. You can only burn them in the day. So for pigel, it should be that day. If you didn't get around to it for whatever reason, then you got to wait till the next day. No sore whenever it becomes. Now, depending on what kind of korban. Mm-hmm. Some korbanos are no sore at the very beginning, like a chatos, mm-hmm, is no sore by sunrise. Okay, yeah, that's when it's no sore. So go burn it now after sunrise. Shlomen becomes no sore the following night time. So then you got to wait till the next day to burn it.
You were supposed to burn it that day, and you were negligent.
Then you do the next day.
I appreciate that, but is that a mark against you for not burning when you were supposed
well,
to?
Well, listen, it doesn't really matter. You have to burn it. You have to burn it. So you burn it when you have a window of opportunity to burn it. Sooner the better. It's like delaying a mitzvah. It's like delaying any mitzvah. Is it a good thing to delay a mitzvah?
No.
No, it's a mitzvah right away. So, you've delayed the mitzvah. So what can you do? But the only time you can burn it is today. Now you have an interesting situation, though. So, and the same thing would be if something is tummy. If something's tummy and you have to burn it, you're going to burn it in the day. Now, let's say like this. So, let's say that brought a korban on Friday. Let's say a korban machatos on a Friday. So you're supposed to eat the korban machatos till when?
CPR?
By when do you have to have eaten the Korban Chatas, Martin?
Oh,
well, you brought on Friday, Korban Chatas, the Kohanim.
Before Shabbos.
So they, when can they eat it?
They have to eat it before sunset.
They have the whole night, don't you?
But before, okay, before sunrise the next day.
Before sunrise the next day. So now when would the first time it becomes pigul? Shabbos morning.
Right.
Okay. Can I burn it then?
No.
Or what if it's Erev Yontif, and that's the first day Yontif? No. So the Rambam tells us, even though we said you burn pigul on these things, even if it's the next day, but the ain sreifas tame finosar upigul. Burning either of something can tame, nosar, or pigul is not doches Yontif, doesn't push off Yontif. So if let's say it now becomes for the very first time nosar or whatever, or let's say even better, on Yontif, you brought a korban on Yontif and you pigulized it on Yontif. Okay? So normally if it wasn't Yontif, burn it right now. But since it's Yontif, you can't burn it. Because obviously we don't burn things on Yontif when, you know, it shouldn't have even been this way. So you don't, doesn't push off Yontif. And it goes without saying, Vein Tzarech Lomar, as a Shabbos. Certainly, if it's on Shabbos, you can't burn it. This is, that's the way, it's there to fix up the mistake. Mm-hmm. Well, just like, for example, let's say a bris. A bris on it on the right time is done on Shabbos. But what if it's been delayed?
You can't do it on Shabbos.
And even though the doctor is all, now, Shabbos, he's ready to go. The baby's ready to go.
Doesn't matter.
Now, once you're ready, not doing the right time, or whatever. So similar idea, not 100%, but people and these things, they got to be burnt with, but it's already... That's not really positive avoda, so to speak. It's just, okay, we got to deal with this bad stuff. Okay, but why do we got to deal with it on Shabbos? So, although keeping it around isn't good either, but it's not that important to be doche yanta for Shabbos. Then, right at the end of Ches, hey, he gives you a one-liner, and that one-liner leads us to the much lengthier vav. Now, what if you've got, let's say, it doesn't really matter, let's say you've got animal meat that is tamei, and you got a little bit of nosar, and a little bit of pigul, let's say. So all three got to be burnt, okay? And let's just say, and they all got to be burnt, let's say, tomorrow morning, okay? They'll all be burnt tomorrow morning. Now, you figure you're making one fire, you figure I might as well take all three and just clump them in together and just burn them all together with one fire, right? Like, why not? You know, they all got to be burnt. Why should I make three fires, you know? Here, I'll make a little fire and I'll put the three pieces of meat together, toss it in the fire, and they'll all burn up. So here is a potential problem that Rambam is going to say is not a problem. Let's say, for example, you have a piece of tamei meat and another piece of meat that's not tamei. Are you allowed to let the tamei meat come in contact with the not tamei meat?
No,
because you're making it tamei.
Right.
So that's a general rule. You try to minimize the amount of tumah. Now, here's the point. I'll get into details shortly. What if, you know, there's different levels of tumah, right? You got the aviavos tumah, corpse. Corpse touches a person, he's an avatumah. The person touches a cup, it's a Rishon Latuma.
Yeah.
If some food goes in, it's a Sheni Latuma. So you can go from Avatuma to from Aviavos to Av to Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Okay, here's the point. Now, obviously, each degree is a more severe degree of Tuma. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, you have a Shlishi of Tuma, which is a pretty low level of Tuma, and a Rishon of Tuma. What if I put the two together, what's going to happen?
Both become Rishon.
No. Again, let's make it simple. Let's have a Rishon. A Rishon touches something that's normal, pure. What does this become?
Sheni.
So if let's say this is a Shlishi, and this is a Rishon.
It also becomes Sheni then, no?
Now this gets upgraded to a Sheni. So we know we're not allowed to take something that's Tamei, especially I'm going to take something in the base on Migdash that's Tor, and have the tummy thing touch a Torah.
Or can you take a Shlishi?
Now the question is, can I take something, they're both tummy, but I'm going to upgrade its tumma. Make it more severe tummy. Is that a problem with the base of Migdash? The Rambam in a long way is going to basically say, that's not a problem.
Oh.
Now, the problem here now, let's say you've got a piece of meat that's tummy. That could be like a Rishon of Tumah, or it could be, or Shani, or it's Tumah. Now the question is, what about Nosor and Pigul? So, nosar in pigel, we will see, is rabbinically tummy. If you touch pigel or you touch nosar, if your hands touch it, that makes your hands tummy rabbinically. Yeah. Just like why we wash our hands for bread or things like that. Yeah. So they have a tumma that's rabbinic and stirrup on it. The Rambam was going to say, even though that's a pretty low level of tumma, it's not a very strong tumma, but the animal that has real tumma, let's say a rishon, let's say a corpse, a tummy person touched a korban, and now it's tummy. That's real tummy. That's a rishon. Now I'm going to take the rishon piece of meat that's tummy, the nosar and the pigel that is rabbinically tummy,
okay,
and put them together, what's going to happen to the pigel and the nosar?
The tummy.
They're going to be a sheni to the tummy. Biblical sheni. The Rambam saying, once it has any type of tumma, we're not concerned for upgrading the tumma. We don't make tahor things tame. That you couldn't do. But if it's to upgrade it, then that's, or to downgrade it, in other words, once something has any name of tumma on it, even though by you giving it to contact with a stronger tumma, it will have a stronger tumma, there's no prohibition of making something a stronger tumma. Because think about it, when the thing is kachim, you could eat it.
Yeah.
You could eat it. Now, what you go make a tumma for? That's a real dumb thing to do. I could have eaten it or whatever. I could have processed it. The whole game's over. So we don't want to do that. But if it already has any kind of tumma, right, even a rabbinic tumma, game's over on a rabbinic level, and a rabbinic level is good as anything else because you can't process it anymore. So now by having it touch a rishon, it's going to be elevated to a sheni. What does it matter? You're going to have burning it nonetheless. And that's the whole point the Rambam is saying. That's why he's saying you may burn meat that is tame, let's say it's a rishon, you can burn nosar and pigel together. And that means, so as they're touching, before they got burnt, you've elevated or made stronger the tumma of the nosar and the pigel from rabbinic tumma to, let's say, a sheni of tumma. We might have thought that's a problem. The Rambam says that's not a problem. That's the main point. And Vav is going to be a long-winded way of saying the same thing, just some other applications.
Maybe I missed it, but is there not a difference between something that's tumma and something that's nosar or pigel? Like, I know they're forbidden.
Well, what did he just say?
I'm saying nosar and pigel are called rabbinic tumma.
That's what he said.
And if they touch your hands, if you touch pigel and nosar, your hands become tummy. It gives off a rabbinic tumma. It gives off a rabbinic tumma.
Do rabbis do that just to?
Rabbis can do what they want.
No, but is it to have people even more strongly avoid touching it?
Yeah.
Like as a fence?
This is the first time we learned this.
We just learned that now, right now.
That's what
the talk we had about.
So when we say that meat is pigle, so you have to be careful not to touch. Just don't touch it with your hands. I mean, we got to burn it. You take a kli. It won't be matami the kli. You take a kli. And, you know, you take a pitchfork, you know, one of those big fork thing, barbecue fork. You take the pigle and you throw it into a fire. Put it in a bag. Just don't touch it with your hands. It gives off a rabbinic tumma to the hands. So it gives off a tumma. Obviously, you know why they want to give a rabbinic tumma. Why?
Because you won't eat it.
So you won't eat it. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You're going to say your tummy for eating it, so keep away from it. Especially if you have to wait till...
for touching it.
I'm saying, since you may have to wait till the next day to burn it or whatever, right? So they're putting, they levy on it a rabbinic tumma. So all the Rambam's saying, even though you're going to be making this nosar and pigel become stronger tumma, stronger tumma is not a problem. Once it has any kind of tumma, you don't have to worry. So you can burn it together with the tumma.
Since you can't eat it, even if it wasn't rabbinic tumma, it's still, we said if just the fact that you can't eat it stops the tumma from traveling. Didn't we?
What?
I don't understand what you said.
If the rabbis had not made it tumma,
so then you just can't eat it.
But
it's not tummy.
That's why we said if you can't eat it, then you don't have an issue about tumma transfer.
I didn't say that.
Well, I thought we did.
I didn't say it. Let's put it this way. If nosar and pigel were not tummy,
right,
then you could not burn it with tummy things. Because now you're making something that's not tummy. You can't make
If you had pig meat or something like that, can that become tummy?
It's not, because it's not kachim.
Right,
it's not kachim. Can't make kachim tame.
So you couldn't burn pork with tame meat because it's not tame.
You can, because a pig is not kachim.
You
can't make kachim tame. I can make a pig tame. He's not. Unless I'm a Greek. That's a different tumah. All right, it's a tum. Unless you're a Greek and you bring a pig on the mizbeach, but we don't. So therefore, it's not to worry. Okay.
We said a zillion times you can't get karet when you eat pigul if you did it unaware, unintentionally.
So fine,
but you would become tame. You would become tame if you weren't aware.
Well, only tumas yadayim, not tumas eating.
Okay. But I'm saying you wouldn't be infected with it, even if somebody fed you.
Okay, but you could get your hands would be tummy to rabbanon. Yeah, your hands would be tummy to rabbanon.
Yes.
So that would be a consequence. But he wouldn't know that. He wouldn't know it if he didn't know it was.
Well, afterwards he'll find out, and we're going to tell. Oh, you ate that piece of meat? I pigalized that. I guess your hands are tummy. Tuma has nothing to do with your intention.
Right.
A dead body falls on you. It's your bad luck. You're just tummy.
I just thought there was a.
Okay. Okay, let's move on. Now, Vav. Now, after I gave you that, Vav is the background to that to this whole halacha. You see how big Vav is? But that's going to give you all the details now. Okay, now. So, but you see, that last line assumed you knew Vav. So I had to spend the time to explain Vav to you. Now Vav will be clearer. Bisar kotche kadoshim. Okay, meat. That needs to be totally processed in the Beis Hamikdash. That's Kotche Kedoshim. Everything's got to be done in the Azorah or whatever. Shenitma Befnim. It became Tomei inside the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay.
What's the halacha? Serving Oso Befnim. We burn it in there. Remember, he said there's three places to burn it? So if it just got Tomei, a Sharetz, touched it, whatever, you shechted it, you got a good piece of meat over here, it's Kotche Kedoshim, let's say. Piece of chatas and a coin would love to have eaten it, and it got tame. You burn it right in the azara. And if for some reason you're not supposed to take kachim out of the azara, but let's say the guy did, he wasn't supposed to. He took it out. That's already creating problems, and then it becomes tame outside on top of everything else. Surfing also bachutz. You burn it outside in the third place and by the second place by the harabais. We can also, well, since I was really supposed to burn it inside, let me just schlep it back inside. No. Well, if it's outside already, you burn it outside. Now here becomes the details. Bein shenitma ba'av hatumah, doesn't matter if it was an av hatumah that made it tummy and it became a rishon. Bein shenitma bivlad hatumah, or whether it became tummy from a rishon for tumah and it became a second for tumah. Same halach, we burn the tummy kachim immediately in the spot that it's at. Now, here's the point. In the entire history of the Kohanim, if we look historically by the Kohanim, lo nimnu'u milisro, if they didn't hold themselves back. Now, so there's a lot of things they had to burn. You can imagine in the course of a day, there are probably some mistakes, and you have maybe some noser, some pigle, some tuma things. There could be meat gets tuma. So, and now when you got to burn things, so he's basically saying the Kohanim never refrain from burning different levels of tuma together. That's what he's saying. Lo nimnu malisro v'esabosr shenitma ba'av hatumah. They do not withhold from burning a piece of meat that was tuma from an av hatumah that became a rishon l'tumah. So they didn't hold themselves back. Shari rishon l'tumah imabosr shenitma bevlad hatumah. And yet there's a typo. You should say bevlad vlad, which means a shlishi l'tumah. So they didn't hold back from burning something that was that became a rishon with another thing that became a shlishi. Shareu shlishi. Even though you're increasing the tumah of the shlishi, that it's being burnt in contact with the rishon, that the shlishi becomes a sheni, and you're making a more severe type of tumah. Shashlishi shenaga barishon, the shlishi that touched the rishon, Yachs or Shea becomes a sheni. It didn't bother them because of this rule. Just increasing the tumah doesn't matter if it's already tummy. For Lord, not only that, let's say even a lesser amount of a problem. Ela afilu shemen. Now let's talk about oil for a minute. Shenivsal bitfu yom. That gets puzzle from coming contact with a person who's a teful yom. A teful yom is a guy who was tamei, went right to the mikvah, but the sun didn't set, and now he touched some shemen. Shehu shlishi, that the shemen now becomes a shlishi. Mutar lahadliko, let's say now you want to burn it with a near a lamp. Shomatechas of metal, shenoga ba tamei mace, that a tamei mace touched it. That means the lamp is a avatoma. So they allow a shlishi, not just with a rishon, but even with an avatuma to be burnt together. That will make the shemen a rishon.
Yeah.
You see, we said they did a rishon with a shlishi, and the rishon makes the shlishi a shady. Even an av with a shlishi that makes the shlishi a rishon. Still, they didn't care, Shigabaner. Why? Here's the golden rule. Ho v'yeshom shum tumah, since there is any type of tumah already with this, ein makpidin, we're not particular, al tosefta, to increase the tumah, v'ein nisar, and the only thing we are careful about, and we do not allow, elamin ha-tahor shelo yipasel, that which is tar should not become puzzle. So that's why we can burn nosor and pigol that have rabbinic tumah. They can be burned with tamei meat because you're only increasing the tumah that it already has. Okay. Halacha zayin and ches are very easy. Nosor shall cut shekalim. Okay, cut shekalim is, let's say, shlomim. Okay, mm-hmm. Shlomim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
So let's say you live in Yerushalayim.
Within the walls.
You brought the korban shlomim, and I got a lot of meat. Gosh. You're going home. There's a big barbecue in your house. You hope everybody's tahor. Everyone's got to be tahor.
But they're coming hungry.
They're coming hungry. And what happened is, you didn't finish it in time. It's already the second night has come, and it is now nosor. So now the question is, okay, where do we burn it? So no sir shall cut shekalim sorfin osel ba'olavate, and the owner burns in his own house.
Whoa.
You don't have a special place, just burn it. Wherever you want to burn it. You have a stove, burn it in your stove. It's in your house.
How about in the barbecue? You can burn it on the barbecue.
You bet you burn it. Okay, but that's all good for a person living in your shalim. What if you're a visitor? You're from Tzfat. You came to bring a korban shlomim. So you brought a korban shlomim. Now the question is, what are you going to do? Now,
your kids.
You usually don't have a house, and they didn't have portable barbecues.
But where's the dorm? The
so let's see what's happening. Yes. So let's say like this. So let's say he's traveling through Tzfat. He goes to Yerushalayim.
Okay.
Now, obviously, he's going to bring korbanos, came for Yontif, and he must have some more animal meat that he's going to have to schlep to go back home to eat on the way. And that means chulin, let's say, right? So he buys a few animals. I'm going to make a korban shlomim. I want to have a mitzvah, eat a shlomim, this. And I got a couple random animals I'm shechting, not kutchim, that I'll have to eat on the way back. So what does he do? He makes a mistake. And a little bit of shlomim meat that he was supposed to get rid of, he packed it in the bag with the regular stuff. Now he's already left Yerushalayim. He's passed Mount Scopus and he goes, I got no sorrow.
The buzzer
over
goes
here.
Off. The buzzer goes
okay,
off.
Okay, that's halacha ches. Halacha ches.
Me,
Sheyas Yerushalayim. Let's say a guy is leaving Yerushalayim. Viniskar Sheyesh Biyado Bisar Kodesh, and then he remembers that he has holy meat, aka shlomi meat. Now, here's, and obviously it's no sore by this time. If he's leaving, clearly it's no sore. So it depends. Im Avar Hatsofim, if he's already past Mount Scopus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in words, from Mount Scopus, you could still see the Beis HaMikdash. Once you pass Mount Scopus, you can't see the Beis HaMikdash.
So burn it on the spot.
And now he remembers at that point, Sarfo Bimkomo, he burns at the spot. Why? They're not going to trouble him to schlep back. It's it just has to be burnt. So we're not going to make him go back to Yerushalayim. We're not going to bother. Bim Lav. And what if it's not past Mount Scopus? So now the question, what does he do?
He's not past.
So Im Yeshbo, he hasn't passed Mount Scopus. He's, let's say, on Mount Scopus, right? But still, it's not Yerushalayim. So it depends. Im Yeshbo, if he has a Ksayis, that's a significant amount, O Yoser, or more, then Choser Vesorosh, he has to go back to Yerushalayim and burn Yerushalayim. But wait a minute. But hang on. But wait a minute. But now we're adding a new point, though. But what if he's a guest? We're talking about a guy who's a resident of Yerushalayim. He's a resident, but he happens to be going on a tiyul or something. But what if the guy doesn't live in Yerushalayim? So now the problem is, well, where am I supposed to go? Right? He doesn't have a house in Yerushalayim. So therefore, then what does he do? So, and he has not passed Mount Scopus. So Sarfal Lifnei HaBira, he burns it in front of the Bira, that means in front of the Beis HaMikdash, that means in the Har HaBayis. He burns it in the Har HaBayis.
Would security come after a while?
But wait a minute, but what do you burn it with? You need wood. Where the heck this guy's got wood from? So guess what? That ready, we have Rachmanis on these guys, and we give a donation from the wood that's already been prepared. We have a lot of wood that's prepared in general to use on the Mizbeach. So we give the guy a piece of wood.
He's going to go back.
Remember, we got to make it. The Kanduz will want to come back. You know, this is my memorable trip to Yerushalayim. Yeah. Oh, I forgot the noser. I had to go back. And then I got to run around to find logs. And I had to pay for logs. You know, I'm not going back next year.
So they're asking you pack so, the bag so yourself.
Any wood that was designated for the Marocha, they would give it to him. And
well, where's he going to buy it? Burn it? In the Azara?
No, in the Har HaBayis. And the Har HaBayis, there was places in the Har HaBayis where they burned.